Right now, in the dry savanna of Nigeria, there are millions of cattle that are essentially, trying to survive by eating cardboard.
Yeah, that's really what it comes down to. Practically zero nutrition.
Right, because the rain stopped months ago, and that lush green pasture that used to cover the landscape is just entirely gone.
Leaving behind this really dry, brown forage.
Exactly. And if farmers don't step in and buy these incredibly expensive protein supplements to help the cows digest this dead grass, I mean, the animals stop growing, they stop reproducing, and the farmers just lose their livelihoods.
It's a massive multi-million dollar agricultural crisis.
It is. But what if the solution to saving this entire economy wasn't, some lab-engineered supplement or a huge supply chain overhaul? What if it was just a simple drought-resistant tree branch?
It sounds almost too good to be true, but the data is really compelling.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Our mission today is to explore the super fascinating intersection of agriculture, economics, and animal nutrition. We're looking at a 2026 research article published in the Australian Journal of Agricultural, Veterinary, and Animal Sciences.
Right, this is a study by Adesot Madziga and their colleagues, and it focuses on a highly specific feeding trial in Nigeria.
And it really gets to the heart of a big question for you as a listener, which is, how do you feed livestock efficiently when the climate is just actively working against you?
Exactly. Especially when traditional feeds have become way too expensive to actually buy. I mean, this is the daily reality for over 70% of the rural poor in developing countries.
70%, that's huge.
It is. They rely on livestock not just as a business, but for their actual daily food security, their household income, their whole financial resilience.
So to understand the sheer scale of the solution these researchers found, we really have to look closely at the bottleneck these farmers are facing,
Right,
right?
the dry season dilemma.
Yeah, the study focuses on indigenous cattle, specifically the Bunaji breed, and they are essentially the backbone of ruminant production in this region.
They are, but during the prolonged dry season, their diet is almost entirely just these natural pastures that have completely dried out.
We're talking incredibly fibrous, tough, dead material.
Extremely tough to digest.
Anyone who has ever tried to change their own diet can probably relate to the physiological wall these animals hit. Like, imagine you were trying to bulk up and build muscle at the gym,
Okay, I see where you're going with this.
but the only food you have access to is like plain, unflavored, incredibly dense rice cakes.
Oh, that sounds awful.
Right. You can eat as many of those rice cakes as you physically want, but without a high-quality protein supplement, you are just not going to build muscle.
No, you're not.
In fact, you're just going to feel bloated and lethargic, and eventually you'll just stop eating them altogether.
And that is exactly what the cows experience. When they are forced to eat this low-quality dry forage, their voluntary feed intake just drops.
They just give up on eating.
Pretty much. They stop eating enough. And that leads to poor live weight gain and really depressed reproductive performance.
So they have delayed breeding times and what, prolonged intervals between calving?
Exactly. But the biological mechanism behind this is where it gets really interesting. Because when a farmer buys protein to feed a cow, they aren't actually feeding the cow.
Wait, really? Who are they feeding?
They are feeling the trillions of microbes living inside the cow's stomach.
Ah, right. The stomach bugs are doing all the heavy lifting here.
Precisely. Ruminants, like the Bunaji cattle, have this specialized stomach compartment called the rumen.
Right, the rumen.
Think of it as this massive, churning, biological fermentation vat.
Like a brewery in their stomach.
Exactly like that. And it is packed with bacteria, protozoa, and fungi. And their sole job is to break down tough, fibrous plant material.
Like those dry savanna grasses.
Yes, but those microbes have a very specific dietary requirement. To survive, multiply, and do their job, they absolutely need nitrogen.
And they get that nitrogen from protein. So, if the dry grass has almost no protein in it, the microbes are essentially starving.
They starve, and their populations just plummet. And without that robust microbial workforce, the tough, dry grass just sits in the rumen, fermenting incredibly slowly.
So the vat just stays full.
The vat stays full, and because it's full, the cow's brain receives a signal that it isn't hungry.
Even though it's actively losing weight and starving for actual nutrients, that's wild.
It is. But by introducing a protein supplement, you deliver this massive hit of nitrogen to the rumen.
And the microbial population just explodes.
Exactly. They attack the fibrous grass, breaking it down rapidly. The vat empties faster, which triggers the cow's hunger response,
causing it to voluntarily eat much more of that abundant sheep dry grass. So you're basically hacking the digestive system.
That's a great way to put it.
You use a small amount of high quality protein to trick the cow's body into processing massive amounts of low quality forage.
Yes. And historically, the way farmers pulled off this biological hack was by using cottonseed cake.
Right, cottonseed cake, which is exactly what it sounds like, a byproduct of processing cotton.
Right, you crush the seeds for oil, and the leftover cake is just packed with protein.
And that worked perfectly for decades, right?
It did, until the broader economic environment shifted. National cotton production in the region has been steadily declining for a while now.
So it's a classic case of supply and demand.
Exactly. As the supply of cottonseed dwindled, the market prices for cottonseed cake just skyrocketed.
It transformed from this cheap, abundant byproduct into a premium commodity.
One that the average smallholder farmer simply cannot afford anymore.
So the rice cakes are still free, but the protein powder has become so expensive, it's literally pricing the farmers right out of the business.
That's the exact dilemma.
Yeah.
They can't just let their cattle starve during the dry season, but they also can't afford to go bankrupt buying commercial feed.
They needed a local, climate-resilient alternative.
Right.
And that desperate search led the researchers to an arboreal legume, a tree, Gliricidia cypium.
Yes, Gliricidia cypium. It's a medium-sized perennial tree. It's originally native to Mexico and Central America.
But it's everywhere now, right?
Yeah, it is naturalized globally across tropical regions, including Africa. And the agronomic profile of this plant makes it perfectly suited for the exact crisis these farmers are facing.
Because it thrives in environments with low and irregular rainfall. Like, it survives on just 365 to 800 millimeters annually.
Which is incredibly low.
And the reason it survives is because it sends these deep tap roots far down into the soil to find hidden water reserves.
Reserves that those shallow savanna grasses just can't reach.
Right. And the sheer volume of material it produces is staggering. The study notes it can yield between 70 to 105 tons of total biomass per hectare every single year.
That's a massive amount of feed. But, you know, volume doesn't matter at all if the nutritional profile isn't there.
Very true. The researchers had to know if the leaves of this tree could actually replace the commercial cottonseed cake.
So they ran what's called a proximate analysis,
which is a laboratory method to determine the exact nutritional breakdown of a feed, right?
Exactly. And the results of that analysis were definitive. The tree leaves actually outperformed the commercial feed.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. Gliricidia cypium clocked in at over 26% crude protein.
Over 26%.
While the expensive cottonseed cake was sitting at under 22%.
That is a huge difference.
It really is. And it also had a significantly lower fiber content, which makes it physically easier for the rumen to break down.
And the mineral content was almost double. I was reading that they measured this by looking at the ash content.
Right, the ash content.
For anyone unfamiliar with that term, in an agricultural lab, they literally incinerate a sample of the feed.
They burn it right down.
Right. Everything organic burns away, and what is left behind in the ash are the pure inorganic minerals.
Things like calcium, phosphorus, and magnesium.
Yeah. And the tree leaves had an ash content of over 7.5% compared to the cottonseed cake at just over 4%.
It's nutritionally superior on almost every level.
Okay, but I have to pause here and look at this from the perspective of the cattle. Because we're talking about feeding tree leaves to animals that usually graze on grass.
Oh, I know. It sounds a bit counterintuitive.
Trees can't run away from predators. Their primary evolutionary defense mechanism is chemical warfare.
Right. They produce secondary plant compounds.
Toxins and bitter compounds designed to physically stop animals from eating their leaves. So is it actually safe to make this a staple of a cow's diet?
It is a totally valid and critical concern. And the researchers analyzed the leaves specifically for these anti-nutritional factors.
And did they find them?
They did. Gliricidia cypium definitely contains them. The analysis found tannins, oxalates, phytates, and saponins.
Okay, so how toxic are we talking?
Well, to understand the risk, let's just look at tannins. Tannins are polyphenols that bind aggressively to proteins.
Meaning they lock onto them?
Exactly. If a non-ruminant animal, like say a pig or a chicken, eats a diet high in tannins, those compounds lock onto the proteins in their stomach,
making them completely indigestible.
Right. The animal eats the protein, but their body just can't absorb it. High levels can severely depress their growth or even cause outright toxicity.
But the researchers were confident feeding this to the Bunaji bulls anyway.
They were. And it all comes back to the rumen.
That massive biological fermentation vat.
Exactly. It isn't just a digestive engine. It actually functions as a highly effective detoxification center.
Oh, that makes sense.
Over millions of years, ruminants have evolved specific microbial populations that secrete enzymes capable of cleaving those chemical bonds.
So they literally physically dismantle the tannins and oxalates before they can even cause harm.
They tear them apart.
Yeah.
And the laboratory analysis confirmed that while these anti-nutritional factors were present in the Gliricidia leaves, the concentrations were low enough that the rumen microbes could easily handle them.
Without any impairment to the overall fermentation process.
Exactly.
So the microbes literally disarm the tree's chemical weapons. I mean, on paper, this sounds like an absolute miracle.
It checks a lot of boxes.
It survives droughts. It costs almost nothing to grow. It packs more protein and minerals than the commercial alternative. And the cow's digestive system is perfectly engineered to neutralize its natural defenses.
But, and this is a big, but approximate analysis in a sterile lab doesn't tell you how a living, breathing herd of cattle will respond over a long, dry season.
Right. Theory is great, but they needed a real-world trial.
So they designed a 90-day feeding trial using 20 growing Bunaji bulls.
These were young males, right. Roughly 15 months old, starting at an average weight of around 110 kilograms.
Yep, growing boys. Mm. And the experimental design was pretty straightforward. They took the standard expensive protein concentrate that relied entirely on cottonseed cake.
The usual stuff.
Exactly. And they started swapping out that cottonseed cake for chopped, dried leaves from the Gliricidia tree.
And they divided the bulls into four different groups to test this.
Right. So a control group stayed on the traditional diet, which means 0% tree leaves.
Just the expensive stuff?
Just the cottonseed cake. The other groups had their cottonseed cake replaced at levels of 25%, 50%, and 75%.
Okay, so scaling up the tree leaves. Now, the feeding regimen is crucial to understand here, right?
Highly crucial. Every day, the bulls were offered this protein concentrate at an amount equaling exactly 2% of their body weight.
And alongside that, they had unlimited access to standard hay and clean water.
Right. The base diet was identical across the board. The only variable changing was the ratio of cottonseed cake to tree foliage in their daily protein mix.
So at the end of the 90 days, what happened?
The data revealed a massive difference in how the animals developed, and it highlights a fascinating principle of biological optimization.
Which is that more isn't always better.
Exactly. The 50% replacement level was the absolute sweet spot.
The 50% mark.
Yes. Bulls on the 50% tree leaf diet had the highest average daily weight gain by a wide margin.
How much were they putting on?
They were putting on 350 grams a day. And if you look at the control group, the bulls eating the expensive 100% cottonseed cake protein, they only managed to gain 220 grams a day.
So that's a difference of 130 grams a day. Over the course of 3 months, that fundamentally changes the value of that animal.
It really does. And the 50% group also completely dominated in terms of appetite.
They just wanted to eat more.
Yeah, they had the highest total daily feed intake, consuming over 5 kilograms of feed a day.
This is where we really need to look at the drop-off. Because human intuition suggests a linear progression, right?
Right. If some is good, more must be great.
Exactly. If replacing 25% of the commercial feed is good and 50% is great, then 75% should definitely be the best.
But the data completely contradicted that. At 75% replacement, the bull's performance actually declined compared to the 50% mark.
They didn't gain as much weight and their total feed intake dropped.
Yeah.
I like to think of it like trying to find the perfect blend for a dark roast coffee.
Okay, I love a good coffee analogy.
Right. So if you add a certain percentage of robust dark roast beans to a milder blend, you totally enhance the flavor profile.
You get those nice rich notes.
Exactly. The oils and the acidity stimulate the palate. It makes the cup of coffee complex and delicious. But if you push that blend to 100% dark roast, the sheer concentration of those compounds just overwhelms your senses.
It becomes physically too bitter to enjoy.
And you end up drinking less of it overall.
That chemistry actually translates perfectly to what is happening inside the rumen.
Really?
Yeah. The volatile plant compounds in the Gliricidia leaves, the same ones creating that chemical defense, They act a lot like the acidity and oils in that dark roast coffee bean.
Oh, that's fascinating.
At a 50% blend, those compounds actually stimulate the digestive system. The high protein and low fiber of the tree leaves allowed the microbes to process the meal rapidly.
So the rumen empties quickly.
Exactly, which makes the bull hungry, which drives them to eat more of their unlimited hay.
But at 75%, you hit a wall.
You breach a palatability threshold. The concentration of those volatile compounds simply becomes too bitter.
The coffee is too dark.
Way too dark. And the physical fiber balance of the overall diet shifts too drastically. The bulls physically reject the higher volume, which is why their total intake drops.
But there is a very important nuance in the 75% data, isn't there?
There is. While they didn't gain the most total weight, the 75% group exhibited the highest feed conversion efficiency.
Right. Feed conversion efficiency. That's basically the miles per gallon metric of the livestock world.
Exactly. It measures how many pounds of feed an animal has to eat to gain 1 pound of body weight.
So the bulls on the 75% diet were actually the most efficient biological machines.
They were, getting the absolute most out of every single bite they took, even if the bitterness kept them from eating a massive volume.
So it just proves that the 50% mark is the masterclass in blending.
It really is. It perfectly balanced high palatability to encourage a massive appetite while maintaining excellent digestibility,
resulting in the maximum total growth.
Exactly. Biologically, the trial was just an overwhelming success for the tree leaves.
I mean, 350 grams of growth a day is a clear victory over the 220 grams from the traditional feed.
Absolutely.
But, you know, for a smallholder farmer operating on incredibly tight margins, biological success is completely irrelevant if the economics don't work.
That is the harsh reality. A few cents difference in the cost of feed can dictate whether a family can afford to send a child to school that month.
So the ultimate metric of this study isn't just weight gain. It's net profit.
The bottom line.
Does replacing cottonseed cake with a locally grown tree actually pay the bills?
Thankfully, the researchers conducted a rigorous economic breakdown alongside the biological trial to answer that exact question.
Okay, so let's get into the dollars and cents.
First, they looked at the raw material costs. Sourcing the traditional cottonseed cake cost roughly 9 cents per kilogram.
Okay, 9 cents.
Sourcing the Gluricidia foliage cost only 6 cents per kilogram.
So that's an immediate 33% reduction in the base cost of the protein.
It is. But there is a catch in the daily math.
Right, because the bulls on the 50% diet felt so great, and their rumen was emptying so efficiently, they had massive appetites.
Right. They ate significantly more total food every day than the control group.
Which means the daily cost to feed them and the labor required to process that larger volume of feed was actually higher.
Yeah, it was. The 50% group had the highest daily feeding cost of the entire trial.
But the strategy pays off entirely when you look at the final yield, right?
Completely. Because they gained so much more weight on that highly digestible 50% blend, the final economics heavily favored them. The 50% Gluricidia diet resulted in the highest overall sale value per bull, hitting nearly $670.
Wow.
And when you subtract the feed and labor costs, it generated the highest net profit at just over $429 per bull.
That's a huge return.
It is. They also calculated the benefit-cost ratio, which came in at 2.79. That was the best of the whole group.
And if we compare those margins to the control group?
The bulls kept on the 0% Gluricidia diet, which represents the traditional expensive method of feeding.
Yeah.
They had the lowest net profit of all the groups.
Bringing in less than $388.
Exactly. So the farmers are essentially paying a premium for a commercial feed that actually suppresses the financial potential of their herd.
That is incredible. This specific data point, the single feeding trial in Nigeria, it really reveals a much larger blueprint.
It really does force you to rethink things.
It forces you to look at how we approach bottlenecks in complex systems, right? I mean, instead of fighting an increasingly volatile economic environment by paying a premium for a shrinking supply of cottonseed cake.
These researchers looked at what naturally thrives in that exact harsh environment.
Right. And they found an arboreal legume that requires virtually no inputs, survives on erratic rainfall, and turns out to be biologically superior to the commercial alternative.
The macro implications here extend way beyond just one farm. This is about national food security.
Because the agronomic profile of Gluricidia sepium makes it a permanent asset for a smallholder farmer.
Exactly. You don't even need to buy seeds. You can propagate this tree simply by taking stem cuttings and planting them directly in the soil.
And because it's a legume, it fixes atmospheric nitrogen into the ground.
Acting as a green manure, that improves the soil quality for surrounding crops in, like, an alley cropping system.
So it creates an immediate on-farm buffer against global market shocks.
Absolutely. If the price of commercial feed doubles overnight, or a severe drought wipes out the savanna grasses earlier than expected.
A farmer with a perimeter of gliricidia trees isn't forced to sell off their herd at a loss.
No, they have a year-round, drought-resistant supply of high-quality protein ready to harvest.
It stabilizes rural livelihoods and ensures a consistent availability of animal protein for the wider population.
It perfectly demonstrates that true resilience in agriculture often comes from decentralizing our inputs.
Right, moving away from rigid, single-source commercial supply chains.
And integrating multi-purpose, locally adapted biological systems.
Okay, so to pull all of these threads together for you listening, the prolonged dry season creates a nutritional wasteland for livestock. To survive and grow, cattle require a protein supplement to fuel the microbes in the rumen, allowing them to digest the tough, dry forage.
Right.
But the traditional supplement, cottonseed cake, has become economically unviable for smallholder farmers.
Too expensive.
So the 2026 Ajavis study proves that Gliricidia sepium, a tough, drought-resistant tree, is not only a viable substitute, but a vastly superior one.
The numbers don't lie.
By replacing exactly 50% of the expensive commercial protein with the leaves of this tree, farmers hit a biological sweet spot that optimizes digestion, drastically increases daily weight gain, and maximizes net profit.
It just requires an understanding of how the animal, the plant, and the local economy all interact as a single unified system.
And it requires one very specific human intervention, which actually brings us to a final detail from the study's methodology that is really worth lingering on.
Oh, the processing step.
Right, because the researchers didn't just hack a branch off the tree and throw it into the feeding trough.
No, they employed a very specific preparation method. They chopped the Gliricidia leaves and air-dried them for exactly 3 days before blending them into the feed.
And that drying process is vital.
It is. It reduces the moisture content, sure, but more importantly, it causes many of those defensive, volatile plant compounds to physically evaporate.
So it literally airs out the bitterness.
Exactly. It lowers the concentration of the anti-nutritional factors just enough to drastically improve the palatability for the cattle.
Without destroying the underlying protein.
Exactly.
A simple 3-day drying process is the key that turns a bitter, defensive tree leaf into a premium, highly digestible, profit-boosting cattle feed.
It's brilliantly simple.
Which leaves you with a really fascinating question to consider long after this deep dive ends. If such a low-tech, minor tweak in preparation can unlock that much biological and economic value,
what else are we missing?
Exactly. What other native plants or ignored weeds are sitting in our own local ecosystems right now? What else is growing wild just outside your door, dismissed as a nuisance, just waiting for the right preparation method to unlock its hidden potential?
That's a great question.
Keep questioning the systems around you. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.